Today's episode of Dog Nation Daily is brought to you by Pella Window and Door of Georgia, viewed to be the best.
Presented by DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
So the big story around UGA circles today is the fact that Mecole Hardman, in his rookie year, is a world champion, capping off what was already a Pro Bowl campaign for him as in his first year with a Super Bowl last night as the Chiefs beat the San Francisco 49ers. And I got to tell you, in watching kind of all this kind of play out with Mecole, he ends up being a little bit different from a personality standpoint than I realized he was at Georgia. In other words, this is a guy, we've been saying this now for a couple of weeks just based on some of the things that he's been doing, but this is a guy, Mecole Hardman, who brings a ton of personality with him into the National Football League and obviously seemed to really be enjoying himself really throughout the month of January and capping off last night with what I thought was a very good Super Bowl entertaining game as the Chiefs knocked off the San Francisco 49ers. It kind of began in a large measure with Mecole on the field before the game. A little bit of a message for UGA fans from Miami Gardens, Florida, saying that he was kind of playing in honor of them last night. Good stuff from Mecole. Let me let you see and hear this.
Hey, UGA, you know we're here, man. I represent for the Dogs, man. We here at the Super Bowl trying to get that done. Let's go. Go Dogs.
And, of course, even before that, there was the, I guess, arrival to the stadium, something that's kind of become a little bit of a theme for him of kind of these costumed arrivals. And it's not necessarily official that he was showing off the Top Gun thing last night, but the sort of Navy pilot jumpsuit type deal certainly was a reminder of, you know, there's a new Top Gun movie coming out. This certainly seemed to kind of look like that. This kind of goes along with what was Fresh Prince before the AFC Championship game. There was LL Cool J before the divisional round game. LL Cool J even shouting out Mecole Hardman on Twitter, congratulating him for the Super Bowl win. Like, one way or another, this is Mecole Hardman just really showing off a personality that I just didn't realize he had when he was at Georgia. And I guess it's kind of a thing where when you think about Georgia going forward, I think that what Mecole has kind of shown off here, the way in which that he and the rest of these Chiefs have kind of experienced their Super Bowl championship, I kind of think there's a little something in all of this that kind of needs to be copied. I think that we are now living in kind of a post-Nick Saban era in college football, where in the Nick Saban era, the definition of how you pursued success and how you obtained wins and how you kind of do all that kind of stuff, the definition of that was you just grind, 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 no days off, compete, 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 work hard, work hard, work hard, celebrating is for losers. This is about going out there and pushing yourself to be as good as you can be all the time. And we are now, I think, in the aftermath of that. And Georgia is very much a program built by Kirby Smart that certainly has borrowed from the Alabama blueprint for the success that Smart has enjoyed in his first 4 years in Athens. There's no denying that's true. However, as Georgia has kind of risen up under Kirby Smart, it's sort of fair to point out that other programs are building their own success doing things in a very, very different way. I think they resemble a little bit more like what Mecole Hardman showed in the Super Bowl last night and throughout these AFC playoffs. And I think as Georgia moves ahead in the future, when you've got guys who know how to have fun, when you've got guys who have the personality that a Mecole Hardman displays, I think it'd be a good idea for Georgia to find some way to kind of use that as a fuel, because winning alone isn't of very much value. It doesn't have much of a compound effect for your program moving forward if the people who are a part of that winning aren't enjoying themselves and they're not having a good time. Now, let me give you an example of exactly what I'm talking about here. And I think that after you hear this audio clip, it's going to crystallize in your mind exactly what you kind of don't want college football to be moving forward, what's not working quite so well for college football over the last couple of years, and what Georgia needs to avoid as it makes its own pursuit of its own national championship. Tua Tagovailoa, the former Alabama quarterback, was on the Rich Eisen show. And obviously, you got to give credit where credit's due. Tua was a part of an Alabama win over Georgia at the end of the 2017 season for a national championship. But listen to this admittedly funny clip from Tua, funny story. Certainly Rich Eisen and the folks on set here with the radio program are certainly laughing about this. But Tua Tagovailoa talks about how mad Nick Saban was at him, even after Tua had thrown a touchdown pass that had won Alabama a national championship game. This is just from this past week. I think it is interesting, and it certainly illustrates the point we're trying to make here. So listen to Tua with Rich Eisen, and then I'll kind of finish the point.
After you won the game,
mm-hmm.
and you're picking confetti out of your hair, he still took a moment,
yeah,
in that moment to revisit
Yeah.
That sack. Yeah,
being who he is, I mean, you know, he pulled me to the side. He said, you know, well, why did you take the sack?
Right.
You know, and I thought it was a good time to joke with him, you know, so I mean, we won the national championship. So I told him, well, you know, we needed more room to throw the ball, coach. You know, and like he looked at me and like I was laughing. He's like, that's not funny. So I mean, I didn't know what else to do in that situation. I was like, OK, I'm sorry, coach. So I shook his hand and he just moved on. I was like, oh.
So I think it's a funny clip from Tua Tagovailoa, and like a lot of these stories, maybe it's embellished, exaggerated just a bit, but I do believe that there's a serious takeaway from that. That Nick Saban is successful, and that kind of slavish devotion towards success has probably worked for him, and it's certainly worked for Alabama, but it is fair to point out, in response to Nick Saban building his program the way that it has in that way, look at who's won the last two national championships. Dabo Swinney at Clemson for the 2018 season, or I should say the 2018 season. Ed Orgeron at LSU here for the 2019 season. Two guys who've made it as a part of their personality and the culture they're building around their programs to have a lot more fun. Now, it's a different kind of fun. Dabo Swinney's a little bit more of an aw shucks, homespun kind of fun. Ed Orgeron's a little bit more of I'm here to dance with your date type of fun, but they're both kind of having a good time. They are not as serious as Nick Saban is. Ed Orgeron in the SEC championship, lead up to that, talking about gumbo and things like that in press conference. The LSU players, when we saw them kind of walk on the field there at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, they're kind of cheesing it up, taking selfies and things like that. They've made fun a part of the culture of the program. Clemson, as I said before, kind of done its own version of that. And Mecole Hardman, a UGA guy, last night at the Super Bowl kind of shows you that fun also works with winning. So if you're Georgia, I think you got to find a way to copy a little bit of what Mecole Hardman has done here in the month of January. Build a brand that's kind of about having a good time. It's about kind of expressing yourself. Doesn't mean you stop being professional. Doesn't mean that you stop, you know, doing everything you can do to win. It doesn't mean you compete any less. I think what we're seeing here is that the pursuit of fun can also coincide with the pursuit of winning. And really, as a response to Nick Saban, making some room for fun may be the biggest part of the success quotient. That's really what Clemson has done. That's certainly what LSU has done. And as Georgia tries to do its own part to kind of nudge Nick Saban a little closer to towards retirement, I think trying to find a way to have fun and enjoy itself the way that a former UGA guy like Mecole has here in the NFL, I think that's a pretty good blueprint to copy. Let me change gears here for a moment, talk about something else, because there's also big news around UGA when it comes to recruiting. I'm sure you followed this over the weekend. I wrote about this at DogNation.com. Five-star offensive tackle Broderick Jones did not take his visit to Auburn over the weekend. Apparently, the visit he took to Georgia this past weekend and, you know, some other contact with Georgia coaches is kind of all Broderick Jones needs to see here. We'll talk to John Stinchcomb about this more in just a couple of minutes. It certainly seems like new offensive line coach at Georgia, Matt Luke, has paid really big dividends and helped Georgia win a big recruiting battle here. We'll obviously find out the final story on this when it all comes down on Wednesday for National Signing Day. And the response to all of this is, man, look at Georgia flexing. Kirby Smart just absolutely dominating Gus Malzahn in the recruiting trail. And that is true. This is a huge win for Kirby if it plays out the way that it appears it is right now. It's a huge loss for Gus Malzahn, who certainly some folks around Auburn thought they were in it for Jones. Not to get a chance to host him on that visit that some Auburn fans had kind of bragged about, that final official visit, that looks like a pretty big L for the Auburn staff to take here. However, there's something that kind of floats below the surface on this, below the radar, that I don't want you to notice, or I want to make sure you do notice. I don't want you to miss. And obviously, as kind of the chief Gator hater around here, I'll do my part to make sure this is very much paid attention to. So it looks like Georgia worked pretty hard and did a pretty good job of keeping Jones from going to Auburn. That looks like a huge recruiting win, a huge flex on Gus Malzahn, maybe. But concurrent to that, every indication that I've gotten, at least trying to keep my ear to the ground, paying attention to the online chatter, it seems like that Georgia had no problem with Cedric Von Prongranger going to visit Florida this weekend. My understanding is, I believe, that he did take that Florida visit. In a weird way, am I wrong for saying this? That what's a worse look for a Georgia rival is not Georgia working hard to convince Broderick Jones not to visit Auburn. That's a bad loss for Auburn, but at least it's showing some degree of respect for, hey, we don't want this guy on your campus because we've seen you guys, you know, get recruiting wins when guys go on your campus before. The fact that Georgia seems to have sort of a shrugging response to Cedric Von Braun visiting Florida, I think that sort of speaks to exactly where these two programs stand from a recruiting standpoint right now. Some of y'all had sent me a graphic that that somebody made of the 24/7 Sports composite recruiting rankings, and there was, you know, Georgia up here and Florida down here, and someone had kind of photoshopped the Grand Canyon in between those two rankings right now. And certainly that's the indication that you get. Georgia working hard to keep Jones from even visiting Auburn. Georgia essentially shrugging about Van Prine going to Florida. Right now, no one believes that Dan Mullen and his staff can flip a guy like that, can convince a guy like that to step back on his Georgia pledge. So while you were paying attention to Georgia getting a big recruiting win over Auburn, the distance that still exists between Georgia and Florida, that's probably worth paying attention to as well. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented today by Pella Window and Door of Georgia. It's good to have you with us. No matter how you get to us today, live on video, 10 a.m., Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, on the radio at noon, on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref, and as a podcast, wherever you find them, including posting the show each and every day to the world-famous DogNation.com. Appreciate you being with us and part of the program today. And by the way, huge thanks to our friends at Pella Window and Door of Georgia for making it all possible. You know, they can help equip your house with energy-efficient windows and doors. This could save you money on your heating bill, your electric bill, things like that. It's a great thing to have for the for your home, and Pella Window and Door of Georgia offers you a great deal right now. Make sure you pay attention to this. Currently, you can get 50% off qualifying installations or a 0% APR for 48 months. And this deal is valid through March 12th. So you got to act right now to take advantage of it. You can schedule your free in-home consultation today. A couple different ways to do that. PellaBranch.com. PellaBranch.com is the website. Or give them a call in their Dunwoody showroom. 404-445-2979. 404-445-2979. Pella Window and Door of Georgia, viewed to be the best. It's a nationally known company, local branch right here in Georgia. That means you get the resources from a company that stretches nationwide, locally owned, family type service. We love Pella Window and Door of Georgia. We also love John Stinchcomb. We'll get Stinch coming up here in just a couple of minutes. His thoughts on how Matt Luke performed and apparently doing some really good recruiting here with Cedric Von Pran, Granger, and Broderick Jones. Also, what does it feel like to be a Super Bowl champ? John Stinchcomb knows. He will tell us about that coming up in just a couple of minutes. Before that, though, let's go around the doghouse. And Georgia got itself a commitment over the weekend as well. Ladd McConkey, the receiver at a North Murray High School, a little bit different kind of commit for Georgia, just given the fact that, you know, on this show a lot of times we talk about the very high four-star, five-star prospect. We talk about guys who are big and long and, you know, have tremendous size. McConkey's not quite that way. A little smaller, but certainly really, really quick. Really been validated by a lot of the other recruits. You know, Keely Ringo, for instance, tweeting some things about him. This is a young man that does not necessarily have that sort of typical profile that we would kind of focus on when we talk about recruits here in our program, but certainly seems to be a lot to like about him as kind of a slot receiver for Georgia. In fact, if you want to go back to, I think this is before the hedges from Wednesday with Jeff Sintel, he kind of made kind of an interesting comparison of exactly what McConkey's like and the skill set that he possesses that maybe Georgia's really in need of. Let me let you hear our buddy Jeff Sintel, recruiting insider, on the latest UGA commit, Ladd McConkey.
Ladd's a guy I don't think Georgia has a lot of guys like. Yeah. I don't think they have I think Jermaine Burton and Dominic Blaylock are the only two guys in the program right now that can do some of the same things that Ladd can do.
So listen, that's kind of an interesting comparison, saying this may be a little bit like a Jermaine Burton, maybe a little bit like a Dominic Blaylock. And I think what you see is, there's so many examples of this at Georgia. Maybe the most prominent recently has been Jamie Newman. But with McConkey, kind of an undersized receiver, you see two wildly different opinions. There are some sort of naysayers who say, well, he's just not big enough to play in the SEC level, and they sort of disregard him on spec. And then way across the spectrum, on the other side, you have these people who are 100% sure that he's going to be Georgia's version of what Hunter Renfrow was for Clemson, or what, remember Andy Isabella from UMass? He's going to be Andy Isabella, or any million number of seeming Patriots receivers who've kind of looked the same way. So you have this sort of wide chasm of opinions about what a guy like Ladd McConkey is going to be at a place like Georgia. And like almost any instance, the real truth is probably somewhere in the middle. However, to kind of circle back to the Super Bowl for a second, I think what you see from last night's game is that coaching matters, right? I mean, I love banging on Kyle Shanahan for some in-game decisions this game, but the truth is his coaching expertise all over the course of the season is what got San Francisco there. And Andy Reid, who's a brilliant offensive play caller, able to scheme up against a very good 49ers defense, find a way to win. I think the same thing's going to be true for guys like McConkey and other guys like him who may be a part of the Georgia program. Georgia has collected talent, 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 and yet on the offensive side, at least in terms of the stats and producing a national championship, it's kind of come up just short. So in the future, I think the question is going to be, how does Georgia use the talent that's available to it? How do these guys get schemed into a successful place, a way to win? The spotlight's going to be on Todd Monken because of all of that. And if a guy like Monken, who I think does have some credentials, does have a bit of a track record, if he wants a guy like McConkey, I'm not going to argue with that right now. I'm just like many of you, curious to see how it all works, but certainly very interested in what I think is going to be a pretty advanced scheme for Georgia offensively moving forward, and maybe one that makes room for a guy like Ladd McConkey. It should be fun to see. This is Dog Nation Daily, presented by Pella Window and Door of Georgia. More recruiting news a bit later on, but for now, let's find out more about these offensive linemen, the success of Georgia there, the work that Matt Luke has done, and a whole lot more. Let's do a Marlowe's Tavern Insider Update with our buddy John Stinchcomb.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
It's John Stinchcomb here, former UGA All-American, good friend of our program, on a Marlowe's Tavern Insider Update. And John, before we're done, I obviously want to talk to you about Mecole Hardman, your experience winning a Super Bowl, what that feels like. This is a special day for guys who are lucky enough to be a part of that. As you know, you can play for a long time and not get a chance to hoist that Lombardi trophy, put that ring on your finger. But before we get to that, I do want to follow up on what you and I spent a good bit of time talking about the last time you were with us. I thought you said this so well when it comes to Broderick Jones and Cedric Von Prawn Granger, that chance to host those guys on that official visit last weekend was really a spotlight moment for Matt Luke, the offensive line coach, to kind of sort of step into the void made when Sam Pittman left for Arkansas. Well, based on the fact that Broderick Jones doesn't take the official visit to Auburn that he was supposed to take this weekend, you certainly get the case that Luke has passed his first big test with flying colors, don't you?
That's how I see it. I know Broderick Jones is a big pickup for whichever team gets him to ink his name on the dotted line, because you know he's quite a talented player, having now seen some of the film of these 4- and 5-star recruits that are still available. And in my opinion, Broderick's at the top of that list of guys that haven't already committed. And same thing for Cedric Von Prawn Granger. That's a mouthful, but that might speak more to Matt Luke's ability as a recruiter, because you know he's not an in-state player. He's received that national attention and had the options, as did Broderick. But yeah, you know, he's not your local boy. He didn't grow up in the backyard of Georgia football and fandom, and still seems to be committed to coming here in spite of having a good relationship with Coach Pittman, and other recruiters across the country still sees it as a great place to be. And, you know, you look at the other centers that have been recruited and signed these past couple of years, Warren Erickson, last year Clay Webb. It's going to be a competitive spot, and still he sees that as the best opportunity for him.
You've been around football for a long time. You're kind of in business now. You meet a lot of people. You talk to a lot of people, and I'm guessing you kind of develop a sense for when someone's faking it, whether no matter what it is they're trying to fake, you sort of know when someone is. Obviously, Sam Pittman's a lot to compare yourself to, because Pittman doesn't ever seem to be faking it. He seems to be truly be comfortable in his own skin and able to very easily forge a relationship without having to put on airs, things like that. And I think thus far the experience with Luke is doing it a different way, a little bit different kind of shtick, if you will, but also one of those kind of guys that doesn't have to fake it, that seems to be pretty good at forging relationships. I spent a very brief bit of time with him after the Sugar Bowl. He certainly comes across as personable. Obviously, Jones and Van Prawn Granger, guys like that, are getting his chance to spend more time with him. And I think if you're a UGA fan, you take it as very good news that the relationship part of this, which for me is always the most important part of the recruiting process, Luke is a little bit of a natural at that, much the same way that Pittman is. You know, that's a nice takeaway, I think, if you're a UGA fan.
It was a huge hire. I mean, I really commend Coach Smart and his ability to find an able and highly talented replacement. You know, Coach Pittman is a great coach, and there's a reason why we sang his praises for the years that he was wearing the red and black. And you know, he's unique. He's a special coach in that he's able to recruit, and he's also able to improve players once they get to campus. And what I think is so good about our situation is that they made a quick decision, and it was a great decision. I think Coach Luke is well respected in the coaching realm, but also by his players. You look at the responses when he was fired as the head coach, and those players were upset about it. They had built those relationships with him and had a great deal of respect, and I think that speaks volumes. And now you're starting to see his ability that stands on his own. He's not trying to come in and be the next Sam Pittman. He's Matt Luke and a great coach, and seems to have an easy and early rapport with the entities that you want him to, and that's a great thing, especially this time of year.
So after Van Prine's visit last weekend, Jeff Sintel had a story with him at DogNation.com. One of the things that Van Prine said in that story is that he thinks that Luke is going to be looking for, the word that Van Prine used was, more agile offensive linemen. Now, certainly, John, that fits in with a new offensive coordinator like Todd Monken, the fact that Luke at Ole Miss was kind of a little bit more of an up-tempo offense, a little more athletic, a little more mobile offensive linemen, certainly seems to make some sense here. What do you think, though, of Van Prine's declaration that Georgia's going to do a little bit of that, too? Now, this is, for me, by the way, not, and I'll give you a chance to talk, but this is, for me, is not a necessarily saying that what Georgia was doing from an offensive line standpoint was wrong before with the beefier linemen. I'm sure Pittman would say he wanted agile guys as well. But certainly it seems like there is some room for some more athletic guys at those positions, just given the fact that you think that Georgia might be taking a step towards a little more up-tempo style offense under Monken. What do you make of that?
Well, my assessment hasn't changed, really, in that the way the game is played now is much different than it was 10 years ago when Alabama and some of those other offensive lines just got huge bodies and put people in the phone booth and pounded on them. Now with the game, it's spread out more. There's such, you know, the RPO is a staple in every offense, and the ability to stress defenses not only vertically but horizontally. I don't know how the game hasn't changed more towards athletic offensive linemen, and I think it has. I mean, it really has changed to more offensive linemen. So it's a little bit of a mismatch of scheme and personnel, in my assessment, if you were to stay with, you know, the big bodies that can lean on folks and wear a defense down and create space where there is none, and in between the tackles, so to speak. And the way the game is played now, it's much more spread out. You're attacking edges and having those cutback lanes, but really that's created more by the ability to move. And so I think he's right. I think not only is Georgia most likely heading in that direction with the new staff changes, but I think the game has moved in that direction.
You know, if you look at the timeline from Mecole Hardman, as recently as 2017, John, he was a player without a position. You know, he had been kind of a wildcat quarterback in his final year at Elbert County, came to Georgia, experimented with playing defensive back. That didn't really work. And to start the 2017 season, okay, so he's going to go back over an offense and give that a try. And John, you know how this goes, even for elite athletes, when you're kind of bouncing around on both sides of the ball trying to find a place to play, sometimes that ends up meaning that you don't have a place to play. And for Mecole Hardman, it couldn't be any more opposite of that. He thrived almost immediately at Georgia as a playmaker there at the as a receiver and a kick returner. 2018 was a big year for him. Leaves after his junior season, becomes a draft pick of the Kansas City Chiefs, pro bowler as a rookie on special teams. Not a huge night for him last night necessarily, but he is a world champion. How proud are you of the football career that Mecole Hardman has built as quickly as he's built it?
Oh, what a special talent. I mean, really, the guy, you just can't hide his elite athleticism and speed. And to make the Pro Bowl his rookie season, I think, you know, Kansas City recognized there's so much potential. And the same thing when he was coming out of high school, when he was lands in Georgia. They're just trying to figure out the best way to utilize such a unique talent and skill set. I mean, yes, he probably still has a ways to go and refinement as being a top-line receiver, but early on, just his ability to make plays and create, he's a Pro Bowler. He's identified as one of the best in at the best level as somebody who can just create something out of nothing. And, you know, he continues to do that everywhere he goes.
What does it mean to you that you're in a club that Hardman joined last night, having won a Super Bowl? Because, John, you know the truth here is that there's a certain degree of luck involved with this. You can play at a Hall of Fame level and not necessarily get a chance to be on the biggest stage in the sport in the Super Bowl. You were lucky enough to get a chance to be able to do that. I think it's part of your legacy forever. Hardman's now able to say that there as well. What does it mean for you personally to know that you do have a Super Bowl ring and you were part of a historic moment for your franchise, the New Orleans Saints?
It's such a huge blessing. I mean, you think of guys like Dan Marino and, you know, so many great individual players that have left their mark and legacy on this game. But like you say, there's a lot of just circumstantial influence as to whether or not you're in the right place at the right time and you caught the lightning in the bottle. I know for my experience in 2009, just being on such a special team and creating those memories. We used to have the saying, and still do, that when we win this, we're going to walk together forever. And I think it holds true. I mean, you get in an environment like that where you've created synergy throughout the season, much like Kansas City did this year, and you feel like something is special happening here, and it's you're so grateful for that opportunity and be a part of it with the group of guys that you've really welded a relationship with that's going to last forever. And to watch Mecole last night, you know what's amazing? Kansas City in every one of their playoff games down by 10.
That's something,
and
right?
And they still have enough faith. It's unreal.
Yeah.
They have such faith and confidence in one another that, you know, you're down by 10 with less than a quarter to go in a game, and you end up winning by two scores, you know, 11 points. So just the faith and confidence that they had in one another, it brings back some pretty special warm memories for me, but also so happy for them to experience it the way they did with one another.
Well, speaking of experiencing, great chance for you to experience what's happening at Marlowe's Tavern right now. The tavern right there in your neighborhood, a great spot for chef-inspired food, for craft cocktails. You know, they're getting ready to roll out some new menu items, and this is a perfect time of year to be able to do that. We're heading towards Valentine's Day, or really, you can make sort of any date night Valentine's Day for you and that special someone in your life by stopping by and visiting the Marlowe's Tavern close to you. You want these meals to be special. You want, you know, folks to take care of the ingredients they're putting in the food or that drink that you have served up. You want to know that someone really took their time to make sure it's exactly what you want it to be. That's what I love about Marlowe's Tavern, and I think that you will there as well. So get ready for Valentine's Day or get ready for any kind of date night special occasion. A Marlowe's Tavern, a great choice. There's probably one in the neighborhood close to you, so just find that out, check them out, and stop by there and enjoy a really good meal. You know, Dog Nation, huge fans of Marlowe's, and it's great to be able to tell you about them right now as part of the Marlowe's Tavern Insider Update with our buddy John Stinson. John, let me kind of finish up on this topic here. Before you joined us, I played a little bit of audio of Tua Tagovailoa talking about a funny story involving Nick Saban, where Saban was still kind of mad and sort of coaching in kind of an intense way, even after Alabama had won the national championship at the end of the 2017 season. And the point that I made earlier is, as Georgia tries to win its own national championship, I think the blueprint for future success is a little bit more like what Clemson has done as of late, a little bit more like what LSU did this past season, more so than the kind of like joyless, intensity of Nick Saban. I think you've got to make room for fun. I think Mecole Hardman has done a good job of that here in the month of January. I think the recipe for success in college football moving forward has to make a little bit of room for fun. Orgeron was good at that. Dabo Swinney's been good at that. Georgia's got to make sure it's got some room for this as well. It can't just be slavish devotion to success 365 days a year like it has been for Alabama. That worked for Saban, but toppling Saban, I believe, means being a little bit more like Dabo and Orgeron. How do you feel about that?
Well, I think both are effective. I think you have to be true to your identity. I'm not sure Bill Belichick is the most joyful person in the world, though, you know, you talk to guys who played on the team, and he's much more personable with his own guys than he is to the media and the public and what we get to see. So, you know what, I think you just have to be true to your identity. And Coach Smart seems to have a pretty good handle on that, that he's driving his guys pretty hard. And, you know, he's spent close to a decade on the same staff as Nick Saban. But you also see those videos where they get to cut loose from time to time. And Kirby's a former player himself, so he knows what it feels like to be in those moments. And the fact that you half the time you're leading with the bit and the other time you're leading with the whip. So, you know, the good news is I think he has his own identity. And hopefully that's the right recipe. I like the fact that he continues to make changes where they're needed and continue to get the right players on the team. I mean, you look at the success that those other programs have had, Clemson, Alabama, LSU this year, and they keep those cupboards pretty well stocked. And I think Georgia's right up there with them in terms of talent. It's just a matter of getting out there and executing. And I agree, the identity of the team is very much influential when you're gauging success for the end of the year. But I don't think there's one clear-cut, you have to be hard-nosed and joyless, similar to what you see from Nick Saban and company. Or you have to replicate exactly what Dabo and Coach O do. I think it's just about being authentic to yourself and your team.
Hey, John, it's great to be able to talk to you about this. Really good perspective. We appreciate you being here as part of our Marlowe's Tavern Insider Update here today, and we will look forward to catching up with you again very soon as well.
Always a good time, BA. Go Dogs.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
You know, John kind of always gives you a go dog sign-off. I always really like that from him, and I love having him as part of our Marlowe's Tavern Insider Update. Really good stuff with him. Also, a quick point on what he said there. You know, I do believe that Georgia's got to try to find a way to be fun. I frankly don't know that the last couple of seasons have necessarily always felt as fun as I think they should have. I think John's point about, hey, you got to be true to yourself from a personality standpoint, I think that's really accurate. I think that's a really good point. We were kind of joking around here the other day. There was a photo of Saban. There was like a recruiting meal. It was at a restaurant, kind of like what looked to me like a barbecue restaurant, kind of like the same kind of barbecue restaurants we probably all like to go to. And, you know, Saban's like a suit and tie. He just seemed like so out of place, you know, in kind of a relaxed environment. You know, he's dressed like he's going to court. I do always like the photos of Kirby in moments like this, much the same way we joked before about, you know, Pittman being comfortable in his own skin, Matt Luke being comfortable in his own skin. I think when you see these candid photos of Kirby in a recruiting standpoint, or sometimes you even get little glimpses of video, sometimes they get shared with him with the recruits, he does kind of come across as comfortable in his own skin, so I think he's got that gear to go to. And as John also pointed, no, there's no doubt that kind of super serious, celebrate very little, that kind of tone from Nick Saban has worked out really well to the tune of success. Sometimes I guess I wonder if the people who've had that success have enjoyed it while they've been a part of it. But obviously that's a conversation for another day. It's time to go around the SEC right now, cruising around the SEC, courtesy of our friends at Royal Caribbean. And, you know, one of the things about Royal Caribbean that's so much fun, so nice, the entertainment that you get on these ships. You know, it's an amazing, amazing experience. Broadway-style musicals. I mean, Royal Caribbean's just been awarded all kinds of awards for the kinds of stuff they're doing on these ships. Ice skating shows, dive shows. If you're on one of the, you know, the big ships, you got the Aqua Theater shows. You know, you've got so many great opportunities to take in great entertainment. In addition to that, you've also got like the nightclubs, the restaurant scene, just an amazing, amazing experience on board a Royal Caribbean cruise ship. So book your travel today. Reach out to your travel advisor to do so, or let me recommend my friends at the Cruise and Vacation Authority. You can call them at 800-326-4971. That's 800-326-4971. That'll get you in touch with the Cruise and Vacation Authority. You can let them know that you heard about them right here on Dog Nation Daily. All right, Cruise around the SEC, courtesy of Royal Caribbean. Let's go around, talk about a couple of stories. Let me update a couple of recruiting things here for a moment. Obviously, Georgia had a chance to host Ladd McConkey this weekend. That leads into a commitment. You start to wonder, where does that leave Georgia? Now, very limited with spots, other guys we've talked about. DJ Lundy, the kind of versatile guy, linebacker most likely, I guess, could play running back. He spent the weekend at Florida State. He tweeted about that on social media. There's a little bit of online chatter about Charles Bell VI. Not a lot of social media activity from him as of yet, but it seems like he may have been elsewhere here this weekend. So Georgia has been kind of entertaining a lot of names here late in the process, I guess going through its final deliberations of who's a good fit and who there's room for. McConkie gets the nod. Other guys will wait and find out about. And they are also doing their due diligence, going to find out what else is out there for them beyond the University of Georgia. I know Jeff Sintel will have a lot more for you on that, dognation.com, and also forum.dognation.com to stay up to date with that, the Dog Nation Forum. A guy we've talked about a decent amount here is Chase Brice, the former Clemson quarterback, who upon announcing his transfer from Clemson, there was always like a little bit of Georgia theme to some of the social media stuff, a picture of him as a kid in a Georgia jersey, picture of his family all wearing UGA gear. A lot of times in the world of social media, this ends up just being a coincidence. And maybe in Bryce's case, that's what it was. But because he was as active as he was on social media, kind of at least showing off what seemed to be some red and black, and because at one point in time Georgia was in the market for a transfer quarterback, there was a little bit of curiosity about Brice when it comes to Georgia. So as an update on that, he has found himself a new home. He's going to go play for the Duke Blue Devils, be a part of David Cutcliffe's program there. I think if Cutcliffe is a pretty good developer of quarterbacks, I think of him as a pretty good offensive mind. And given the level of talent he gets a chance to enjoy at Duke, I think of Cutcliffe as a pretty successful coach, all things being equal. So I think that Brice has probably found himself a pretty good landing spot there at Duke, and we'll certainly wish him well throughout all of that. And then there is this. You may remember back on Thursday's show, we had Trey Wallace on the program from Fox Sports in Knoxville. Wallace was the one who had tweeted last week about the visit for Jeremy Pruitt to Houston on the heels of Zach Evans having taken his official visit to Tennessee the weekend before. So Wallace got a little bit of a connection with Evans, so much so that at his website there, the Fox Sports Knoxville website, and I'll have to put I'll put a link to this when we post the show a little bit later on. Wallace has interviewed Zach Evans here this week, and there are a couple of things about this. Now, first of all, in this interview, I guess the most important thing for you to know is that Georgia does not come up in this at all. So if Georgia would ever be in any kind of factor with Zach Evans, this interview certainly does not give you any indication of that. The reason why I wanted to bring it up, though, is because it is an update on the timeline for Zach Evans from his own words via Trey Wallace here. Let me read this to you. I'll give you a two. He says, Wallace's question to Evans, do you feel any pressure to get this done by Wednesday? Wednesday's national signing day. This is his recruitment. Here is Zach Evans' answer. No, I don't feel any pressure to sign Wednesday. I have another official visit that I want to take. And because of the new rule, I have to wait until March to take it. So I take that. Now, listen, everything with Evans is changing up to the minute and whatever. I take this to be, don't look for Zach Evans to do anything on Wednesday. I take this to be the kind of recruitment that stretches into the spring, which I think a lot of folks have kind of insinuated would be a chance there anyway. Wallace asks him, is it in your heart to play college football next season? And he says, yes, I definitely want to and will be playing this coming season. That's five-star running back Zach Evans, as quoted by Trey Wallace, the guy that we had on the show going back to Thursday. So, listen, as I said before, the schools he's asked about specifically in this interview are Tennessee and Ole Miss. This is a Tennessee reporter, so the Tennessee part of that makes sense. Ole Miss would certainly seem to make sense just given the recent chatter. So it could very well be that Evans and Georgia are no longer a thing at all. But for UGA fans who remain a little bit curious as to where he may land, it sounds like Wednesday, at least the latest information, this stuff changes all the time when it comes to Zach Evans, but it sounds like as of now, looks like the Evans recruitment story is going to extend beyond that with another official visit to come somewhere, according to Evans, in March, and then we shall see after that how all of this plays out, and we will make that cruising around the SEC, courtesy of Royal Caribbean. And here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Pella Window and Door of Georgia, speaking of last night's Super Bowl, you know, one of the things that is obviously a huge part of the game are the commercials. And we're kind of in a day and age now where you don't have to, like, watch the game to see the commercials. I think most of these are, like, available online even before the game's even played. Now, I'm kind of an old-fashioned dude. I only see the commercials when they air on the TV. I sit there and kind of watch all that kind of stuff. But you can kind of see some of this kind of stuff online. In fact, one of the, I guess, the most buzzed about commercials last night was from New England Patriots quarterback Tom Brady. Now, the whole, like, gist of the deal was, is the announcement was sort of set up like Brady might be announcing something about his future. That was kind of the text of the commercial. Then he kind of veered into a little bit more of a traditional ad read. But when it's like published online, former Georgia running back and current New England Patriot Sony Michel, I thought had a really great response to this. Let me show this to you on video. And if you're obviously watching, listening, I'll give you a little bit of a description of this. Can we show folks the Sony Michel deal here? He says, "My heart almost stopped." That's Sony Michel on Twitter reacting to the Tom Brady commercial. And I guess what's kind of funny to me about this is that you would think that, you know, these guys, you know, Michel sort of inside that locker room, that he would have a very, good idea of what Tom Brady was going to be doing, or that he would have a very strong sense of kind of how that's going to play out. But a lot of times these guys are, I guess, no different than any of the rest of us are. We see this also a lot of times in recruiting there as well, where a lot of these guys just don't follow each other's stories all that well, that sometimes they're surprised to find out they're both committed to the same school, or sometimes they don't. You know, listen, you also have the opposite of this from time to time as well, where, you know, these guys are concocting these plans behind the scenes, and they all very well know who's going where, and they all very well know who's a silent commitment, who's not. But that's not always the case in recruiting, and apparently that's also not always the case when it comes to pending NFL free agency and stuff like that, that for a brief moment, at least based on what Sony put on Twitter, he was going to be watching a Super Bowl commercial to see if he could find out the fate of his former and maybe soon-to-be ex-quarterback, or maybe soon-to-be still staying there quarterback or whatever. Pretty funny stuff from Sony Michel last night. And also, I'll direct you to Connor Riley's piece at DogNation.com from this morning. You know, with McColl, you know, winning the Super Bowl for the Kansas City Chiefs, with Sony Michel doing that, we talked a lot already about the fact they've been 19 consecutive years of a Georgia player being in the Super Bowl, and now a couple of rookies winning Super Bowls in the last couple of years, Chiefs this year, Patriots before that. It's a pretty cool little brand that Georgia's building for itself. These guys going to the NFL and playing on the biggest stage of all, and there is no doubt about it, recruits are noticing that. All right, we will get ready to wrap this up here today, and we'll do so in style on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Pella Window and Door of Georgia. First of all, huge thanks to John Stinchcomb for joining us on a day after the Super Bowl. It's nice to have a Super Bowl champion on the program. I can certainly promise you I have no such rings on my finger, so it's nice that John Stinchcomb was able to be here and kind of class up the joint here a little bit. And as I mentioned before, Georgia essentially kind of shrugging. Cedric Van Praan visiting Florida, saying, we're not too worried about that. Broderick Jones, yeah, don't go visit Auburn. We'll kind of swoop in and make sure you don't do that. Van Praan, yeah, go down to Gainesville, get yourself a meal. We're not worried about Dan Mullen doing any kind of flip action or anything like that. It's one of the main reasons why Georgia has had such a substantial edge over Florida the last couple of years. In fact, you want a number to put behind this? 1,192 days. That's how long it's been since those lousy, stinking Gators have beaten the Georgia Bulldogs. That's good news today. It's our Gator Hater Updater. We'll see you here tomorrow, Dog Nation Daily, presented by Pella Window and Door.